Navigating the maze of mainstream narratives, Harrison Smith finds the hidden paths in the war room.
42, child-free, it's Sunday fun day, no babysitter needed, let's go.
And I'm very excited that the Family Sex Show is coming to Bristol.
Really, I feel so much joy when I'm hanging out with my trans friends. And we're just together and sharing space and laughing. And
abortion!
Pills!
Forever!
So you think babies should be aborted 10 months after they're born?
If the mother wants to, yes.
I think them kids...
I wear a mask to school. It helps to keep me safe. It helps to keep me safe. Hi ho, the Dario. It helps to keep me safe.
I am also a proud transgender woman, but more importantly, I am the mother of two wonderful transgender and gender expansive children.
In terms of the changes that we see in our society and our culture, I think that women are those change makers.
I'm a school teacher currently teaching kindergarten. Oh, I'm also a drag performer.
As we know, people get pregnant and not just women. But I hear people over and over and over again say women get pregnant. But that's excluding people that should be a part of the conversation.
The suit says the mayor called the lawyers vulgar names before another profanity-laced tirade, saying, quote, "My blank is bigger than yours and the Italians. I have the biggest blank in Chicago."
When you think about it, really, bringing drag performers together with little kids is kind of a perfect relationship.
People want to divide the world into boys and girls, men and women, he and she, is so that they can judge people, so they can be mean to people, so they can bully people, so they can decide who's better than somebody else. And it's all made up.
And trans athletes, we saw them involved in the Olympics. Why not in mixed martial arts and combat sports in general and in sports in, you know, overall?
McLaughlin's got the back of Provost, and now
might have
done,
her.
And now
might have
done,
her.
And now
might have her. No.
Yes, victory for the trans community.
Come on, come on, come on.
And not everybody can be a robot polisher.
Big shout out to Robot Polisher. Incredibly powerful compilation montage. Follow him on X at Robot Polisher. At Robot Polisher. My brother from the Flat Earth. Incredible stuff. We'll be right back. Experience more of the joy. Stay with us.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
The War Room with Harrison Smith is where the shields of truth are forged in the fires of inquiry.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in today for Owen Schroyer. We will be live tonight covering the DNC as both of the Obamas are set to give speeches. We'll be covering that live, taking your phone calls in the run-up to it. Took a brief break after the show ends today. So as soon as the War Room's over, we'll take a little bit of a break, and then we will return live to InfoWars.com/show, band.video, and streaming, of course, all across social media platforms, including X, which X hates me, by the way. I don't know what I did, but I'll be hosting tonight. It may be another catastrophe for my follower account. When it was, when the RNC was happening and the Trump speech was going on, I was sitting there, we were doing a live stream, myself, Alex Jones, Owen Schroyer, 12 million viewers streaming live on X. I had 90 something thousand followers, and I thought, oh, this will be good. I'll be in front of a bunch of people. I'll be sharing it on X. I'll probably break 100,000 today. I woke up the next morning and I'd lost 5,000 followers somehow. And so again, I think, oh, it must have been a purge. It must have been a purge, because that happens occasionally. And you see, all sorts of accounts. Like any account similar to yours, you'll see posting, did anybody else lose a bunch of followers? Yeah, I lost a bunch of followers. I lost 500 followers. And it's like a purge and everybody. It was just me. I don't know what I did, but I lost 5,000 followers. That was a week ago. I've not gained a single follower since then. It's pretty crazy. I don't really care. Like, who cares? The fact that I have so many followers is daunting anyway. And if it turned out my account got deleted today and I didn't have that account anymore, I'm used to it by now. It wouldn't be that big of an issue to me. But yeah, a week ago when I posted about losing 5,000 followers, I had 96,300 followers. It's been a week. I still have 96,300 followers. So I don't know what I did. But I just cannot get followers. So if you want to follow me, if you did follow me, you might not anymore. You can follow me at Harrison H. Smith on X. If I actually tried to get followers, if I actually tried on Twitter, I might actually care. But I don't. So the DNC, Trump put this out on X today, or on Truth. Democrats have no vision or solutions for the country. Democrats have no vision or solution to our country, to our nation's problems. Last night, the convention was focused solely on President Trump. They would rather talk about President Trump than the problems facing our nation due to Kamala Harris's failures. Mentions last night. Trump was mentioned 147 times. The border was only mentioned 8 times. The economy was mentioned 27 times. Inflation was only mentioned 3 times. Probably the number one issue, if you ask the average person, the economy and inflation, hardly gets a mention. Prices, the word prices was said 5 times. The word crime, 6 times. They talked about inflation 3 times and talked about Trump 147 times. These people are obsessed. They're obsessed, and of course, the ultimate irony is that all of their hatred of Trump, all of their dismissal of him, everything they think about him, is not true about Trump and is absolutely true about everybody they love. Kamala Harris might be the best example of this. that if you hate Trump because you think he's just a reality TV show guy. He's not a serious politician. And then they run a campaign where Kamala Harris does zero speaking events, zero interviews, zero town halls, comes out with zero policy, and yet is equal with Donald Trump. Yet they're all jumping up and down and cheering for her because of a couple of TikTok dances. They don't care about substance. They have no substance. They don't care about criminals. They're all criminals. They don't care about anything they pretend to care about, except maybe abortion, because they do genuinely love killing babies. They are serious about that. And, of course, the ultimate irony that doesn't need to be said to this audience, but I will say it again. And I shouldn't have to, and I hate that I do. We'll go to clip number 3. Because as they are simultaneously actually locking up Donald Trump, refusing to push back his sentencing any further, charging him with 34 felony counts for mislabeling a payment, whatever. Meanwhile, Act Blue is actively funneling tens of millions of dollars through fraudulent accounts, just full-scale money laundering. It doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter to them in the slightest. But they're charging Trump with 34 felony counts. So while they simultaneously desperately attempt to throw their opposition in prison, their number one reason for doing this? Well, because Trump might throw his opposition in prison. Okay, let's watch.
Donald Trump would be able to weaponize the Department of Justice to go after his political opponents. He could even turn the FBI into his own personal police force. That is not how it works in America.
Well, it didn't used to be.
How it works in dictatorships.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is what you're doing. So, you know, bit of an accidental admission there. They are, in fact, dictators. Not that they care. Remember, they don't care about being hypocrites. I'm not saying this in an effort to, you know, illuminate them. It's a fantasy I do not hold, that the idea that you're going to sit there with a Democrat and go, but wait, if Donald Trump is, oh yeah, and they hate Project 2025. They've come out with very little of their own policy, and the policy that they keep criticizing isn't even Trump's. That's just how far removed from reality they are. But I don't subscribe to the ridiculous fantasy that you're going to go up to a Democrat and they're like, Trump's going to be a dictator. He's going to imprison his opponents. And you go, but aren't the Democrats imprisoning Trump right now? Aren't they doing what you're scared of? And the Democrat goes, oh my gosh, they are. Oh wait, they're the despots. Oh wait, this is the tyrannical side. I can't do this. No, they don't care. They don't care. If they don't get it by now, they don't care. Okay. Just get it. Just understand they're your enemies and they have to be destroyed. It's as simple as that. And they're very, very, very scared of Donald Trump, you know, deploying the FBI against his political opponents. New York Times, deploying on U.S. soil, how Trump would use soldiers against riots, crime, and migrants. Okay, what else would you, what, yeah. Riots, crime, and migrants? Sure, use the soldiers against them. What are you talking about? Why would you not want, you know, the authorities to deal with riots, crime, and illegal immigration? Again, this is how deeply seated the propaganda has become. They actually can write headlines like this, you know, warning, red alert, Trump is going to use soldiers against the nation's enemies. And it's like they just know that their audience is primed and already so heavily propagandized. They think that's bad. They think that's bad. This headline makes no sense in any other time period. Go back to the 1950s and go, do you know the president wants to use troops against criminals and, you know, rioters and illegal immigrants storming our border at 10 million a year? 1950s people would be like, what the? Is that happening? Can I volunteer? Where do I sign up? Are we at war? So just to be clear, in the Democratic paradigm, things that should not have the soldiers deployed. Riots, illegal immigrants, massive unrelenting crime waves, massive nationwide coordinated riots burning down entire cities. You are a despot. You are a tyrannical madman if you use soldiers for that. Now, if you're using heavily armed soldiers with tanks to shut down small businesses who are defying your lockdown order, yes, that's good. That's what they're there for. If you're sending the FBI to intimidate and arrest mothers speaking at, you know, the school district meeting, yes, good. Deploy the soldiers against the mothers at the school board meeting. That is not just good, it is necessary. If you're deploying, you know, the FBI against just Republicans, I don't know, who cares, right? If it's against Republicans or small business owners or parents, that's all good. If it's against the migrants and the rioters and the criminals, that is tyranny. Just so we're clear. Arresting people for Facebook posts, good. Arresting people for human trafficking across the border, bad. Okay? Just so we're clear. Former President Donald Trump has made clear he intends to use the military for a range of domestic law enforcement purposes, including patrolling near the border, suppressing protests, and even fighting crime in big cities run by Democrats. Well, we got to do something. Yes, folks, headline, breaking news here. Trump to solve problems. Trump to stop the relentless destruction of our nation by a variety of allied forces. And here's the thing. We have to use the weapons that they're forging. It's just necessary. And that's what their fear comes from, is they know fully well what they're doing, and they're just scared of the other side doing it to them. They know they're throwing their opponents in prison. They're good. They're fine with it. All they care about is power. They understand. They get it. They understand that they are forging extremely dangerous, tyrannical weapons to be used by despots. They just want to be the ones to use them. They don't want you to use them. And so the good news is that if we take power, and if we win electorally, and if we defeat their attempts to steal the election, then all of these wonderful, brand shiny new weapons that they forged are now in our hands. And everything that they've done to us, we get to do to them. Not that they had any compunction about doing it in the first place, right? Again, it's a quandary of the Republicans versus the Democrats. The Republicans, like, refuse to do things because it could be setting a precedent. And it's like, but the liberals have already done this. You're not setting a precedent. No, they're already throwing you in prison for your, you know, for wandering through the Capitol when the police opened the door for you. So it's not about, and look, when they did it, did they worry? Did they go, oh, but we're setting a precedent. They might do it. No, they know you're cowards and won't do it to them. So they do it to you because they're bullies and tyrants and despots and evil. They're evil people who love power and use power to destroy their enemies, very simply. Now, I'm not saying we become them, but we can use the weapons they forge to actually fix problems and solve things and help out the people in this country as opposed to the other people in other countries. So they're very scared that the weapons of tyranny that they are now wielding against the American people will be turned on them. And I hope they're right. I really do hope that they're right. That we don't just roll over and allow this to continue. But instead, just we can change some definitions around like they do. Okay? So all of the FBI agents who've been taken off the child trafficking cases and put on the January 6th cases to arrest, you know, plumbers from Arkansas that happened to wave a flag in the Capitol. Well, they say that, you know, Christian white men are the number one threat. It's an easy bureaucratic little maneuver to change that definition to Antifa and systematically round up the communist agitators that are well-funded to destroy our nation. And hey, once you get the the foot soldiers. Well, then you have the building blocks of a RICO case, and we can take this thing all the way up to the people who supply the money on the outset, and we can just dismantle and imprison the entire Open Societies Foundation and save our country. So they're scared of Trump using the weapons they're forging, and I can only pray that they're right. I can only pray that we do, in fact, use these weapons to preserve and empower the United States rather than systematically tear it down. That's just my hope. That is my hope. Meanwhile, this Trump put this out. Here's the actual number one major issue in the country for normal people. Under Kamala, since Kamala took office, gasoline has risen 51%. Electricity has risen 32%. Airfare has risen 23%. Groceries have risen 22%. Rent has risen 22%. K through 12 food is up 66%. Car insurance is up 54%. And the price of eggs has increased 47% since Kamala Harris and Joe Biden took office. Not a single thing suggested does anything to confront this issue, except that apparently they're blaming price gouging and corporate greed. I saw a very funny meme where somebody was breaking down, just like, see, when we're doing well and prices are low, that's because greed is down, and then greed comes back up, as if, you know, greed is this thing that manifests itself and prices go up, and then the greed diminishes again and prices are reasonable. I mean, it just makes no sense. It makes no sense. Their entire economic outlook is nonsense. As is their outlook on, well, you know, everything, but in particular, human life. And abortion, of course, is a primary motivator for the Democrats, despite the fact that as of today, the U.S. birth rate has hit new lows, lowest ever, in fact, with the birth rate falling in the last two decades by 23%, with a year-over-year drop of 2% between 22 and 23. More people are crossing our border than are being born in our country by a very wide margin. And abortion is sort of the perfect Democratic policy for a variety of different reasons, right? For one thing, it is killing a baby, which seems to embody like the most, like if you try to say like what's the most evil act a person could do, like killing a baby might be at the top of the list there. So not only does it do a good job of embodying the sheer abyss of evil that the Democrats represent, but that's just on the surface. When you expand it out to the political, you know, contest, it has to do with, you know, the gender, this, you know, sex differences. I mean, it's all convoluted and nonsense. And they love to pretend that they are upholding the rights of some beleaguered minority when in fact they're doing nothing of the sort. They love to point to, you know, outlying extremely rare situations in order to, you know, paint it as the standard, right? So with guns, it's like they'll point to a school shooting with an AR-15. They'll go, we have to ban our AR-15s. And they'll use gun stats to show how many gun deaths there are in America. And they'll ignore the fact that 99% of them are done with pistols. More people are killed by hammers than AR-15s. Like, none of that matters to them. They just want the AR-15 to go away. So when they bring up cases of rape or incest when it comes to abortion, it doesn't have anything to do with why people get abortion or how prevalent and widely accepted abortion is. But it's like an outlier that they can weaponize in order to make their stance seem like it's predicated on caring for some unfortunate victim rather than just a convenient way to kill babies. So it does a good job of sort of embodying a lot of what the Democrats are all about now, killing babies. And we heard in the last segment, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear basically say, let's see him go through this, as if that would change. Like, and again, these people think, I don't know. I mean, to get into their mindset, I think in their mindset, they think that, like, you know, it's like when you say, hey, maybe we shouldn't shut down all of the schools. That's going to have really bad impacts down the line as you're taking away a lifeline for children, and you're destroying their education, and you're driving them into depression, and I mean all these horrible things that are coming from. And their response is, "You just want children to die from COVID." And it's like, what the hell? So I think in their mind, they're like, because you're like, "Hey, life is life, and a baby is a baby, and even if it was conceived of rape, that sucks, that's tragic, but it's still a life, and morally, we have to treat it as independent from its conception. It's a human life. It deserves protection and support." But to them, I think in their mind, it's like Republicans just like rape or something, you know, something just retarded like that, that they believe. But they love using the rape excuse. And this is one of the things that I think it would be very easy to deprive them of this talking point. Just say, yeah. Exemptions for rape. Is this really that hard? Like, I get it. People are hardline on abortion, and I've talked about this a lot. But this is one of the cases where, like, why would you not say, okay, like we can find a spot to meet in the middle here. Who would not take this deal? If I said to you, I have a plan to get rid of 99.5% of abortions, but we have to let that 0.5% happen. You wouldn't make that deal? You wouldn't save 99.5% of the babies? You wouldn't eliminate 99.5% of the abortions and deprive them of this retarded talking point that they claim to believe in? Here's the reality. The percentage of abortions due to rape in the United States is estimated to be less than 1%, with some sources suggesting it could be as low as 0.4 to 0.5%. This statistic has been consistent across various reports and analysis, indicating that while rape-related abortions do occur, they represent a fraction of all abortions performed. A fraction of a fraction. About half of a percent. It has nothing to do with the wider abortion conversation. Nothing whatsoever. The main reasons are financial and resource constraints, timing and life circumstances, health concerns, personal readiness, relationship issues, lack of support. Irresponsibility is the number one cause of abortion. And I don't understand why you couldn't just say, yeah, we can make exception for rape. I don't believe in it, but fine. If you want to let 0.5% of the abortions happen because they're the result of rape, we can make that deal. You'll see in an instant, Democrats don't want to make that deal because they don't actually care about rape victims. Yeah, ask a Democrat, would you be okay? All right, so is that's the sticking point, the rape thing? Okay, well, then we agree on that. Now you're okay with getting rid of 99.5? No, they're not okay with that. They don't care about rape. I mean, it's an excuse they use to make their horrifying and demonic position seem like it's predicated on caring for a victim. It's not. It's as simple as that. It's just not. And I'll show you on the other side how, just like with so many other issues, whether it's immigration or pricing or, you know, energy availability, none of this is exclusive to America. All of it is taking place across the Western world in every different country, which is undeniable evidence of a coordinated and global attack against the freedom and morality of the West. So when we get back on the other side, we'll show you how this is taking place, not just in America, but in Australia as well. Post-birth abortions, which of course Tim Walz is a big champion. Hundreds of babies a year at this point are born alive and allowed to starve to death as they cry out for their mother. I'll show you.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. We want to stop this epidemic. We need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin, their body temperature. Like we walked in here, we had to go through a body temperature test. But exactly the same technology can determine what you think about the government. You know, anger is a biological phenomena, just like disease. With this kind of surveillance, I mean, you watch a big president, a big leader, gives a speech on television. The television could be monitoring you and knowing whether you're angry or not, just by analyzing the cues, the biological cues coming from your body. Maybe even right now, the people who are watching us are being watched and analyzed. Are you angry about what you hear? Are you frightened? Are you bored? This is the kind of power that Stalin didn't have. You know, when Stalin gave a speech, everybody, of course, clapped their hands and smiled. Now, how do you know what they really think about Stalin? It's very difficult. You can't have a KGB agent following everybody all the time. Even if you do it, he's just watching your outside behavior. He doesn't really know what's happening in your mind. But in 10 years, the future Stalins of the 21st century, they could be watching the minds, the brains of all the population all the time. And also they will have the computing power to analyze all that.
You've seen what President Trump has gone through in the last 8 years. And you've seen a lot of the things that InfoWars has gone through. And I want to thank all of you over the years for your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, because without you, we would not be on the air. Now, without getting into a two-hour-long story, in the process of the bankruptcy the last 2 years, we were basically sabotaged, and the people that were brought in here to supposedly run things didn't reorder product, even though there was plenty of money at the time, to basically put this operation in a position of shutting down. But by the grace of God, years ago, I set up backup supplement line from one of the main providers of the raw materials we were using. And so many of these InfoWars MD products are actually our famous products, simply private labeled, and others are different formulas this company offers. They're all top of the line. They're already best sellers. They're already all over the market and in stores and online under other names, but they are all the very best. So this line is called InfoWars MD. Our supplements are basically all sold out. Only a few things are left, like X2, X3, and some of the other amazing products. But with InfoWars MD, you have Turmeric 95. That is the same formula as Body's Ultimate Turmeric formula. You have the Nitric Boost. It's so good for your heart cardiovascular system. It is the exact same formula. So our Nitric Boost is sold out. They have their Nitric Boost. They even let us use their name Nitric Boost a few years ago. So they're the original makers of this that Dr. Minkovich and others have talked about being one of the best formulas out there. So these are all really amazing products. You want to check out the line of InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com, and it funds our operation. Get great products and help keep us on the air. I need you to take action. You will love these products. They work really, really good. No matter which one you try, they're already top of the line, tested, private labeled by us, available right now at InfoWarsStore.com under the InfoWars MD label. Thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
On the front lines of the information battlefield. War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to continue to talk about abortion politics here for just a minute. Breaking from the New York Times, Biden is apparently putting the American military on nuclear war footing. We'll get back to that. Which, again, actually dovetails pretty nicely into our political segment as... Again, everything they warn about Trump, they are in fact doing, up to and including starting World War III. Let's go now to this video. This is testimony from today. Midwife Lou Adset broke down as she shared harrowing stories of babies being born alive and left to die for up to 5 hours. It takes them 5 hours to wither away, to die, despite the fact that from the moment you're born and even before, you have a survival instinct, and these children desperately crying out for their mothers and allowed to expire on a counter in the hospital. It's horrifying, but it's the reality, and it seems to be the number one motivating aspect of democracy, the Democratic Party, that this be allowed to happen. Let's watch.
Sadly, in the birth suite unit in my hospital, we have had babies born alive after terminations from 15 to 22 weeks. Born alive, gasping for air, moving and having a palpable heart rate, fighting for their lives. What I've directly witnessed or been told by my colleagues who have been present at the time, these babies were alive from anywhere from 2 to 20 minutes to 3 to 5 hours. Sometimes babies born alive after an abortion are put into witches' hats and are covered, taken out of the room, and die while in that witch's hat. This is not an uncommon occurrence. Just recently, a mother decided to abort her baby at 19 weeks. The same misoprostol regime was started, and this little baby was born alive again, moving, gasping for air, and having a palpable heart rate.
I literally have no words. Every Australian has to see Lou's testimony today in the inquiry. Please share this video. Please sign the birth equality petition because this has to change. Not on my watch. Never again. We need to stop this.
It really is sick, and it really is. It's happening across every Western country. It's disgusting. Again, you would think this was somewhere where we could find some common ground. Where it doesn't matter how much you think that having an abortion is women's rights, is a woman's right, there's got to be a limit. If you're carrying around a baby kicking and squirming in your belly for 8-9 months, only to kill it, like you're sick. You're a sick, sick person. Anybody who's had kids knows, like, their personalities are in the womb. You absolutely, just for my own kids, it's like, they do outside of the womb what they were doing inside of the womb. If your kid is energetic and just thrashing around from the moment they're born, well, they're doing that in the womb as well. These people are sick. They really are just sick. And there is also, of course, the financial aspect of the longer a baby gestates, the more developed it is, the more valuable its organs when they're to be resold. So the only possible reason why you would want, post-birth or late-term abortion, it's because you want to sell the body parts. Otherwise, why would you be in favor of this sickening practice? Well, because you're a Democrat and everything you believe is evil. And on that note, just go through a few political headlines here. Tim Walz, of course, passed a policy, a variety of laws that allowed post-birth abortions. We've covered at least 5 instances where a baby was born alive and viable and allowed to starve to death in hospitals under his watch. And I think this post by Dan McLaughlin, again, is illustrative not just of Tim Walz, but of the entire Democratic Party and where their priorities are. I mean, it's shocking. From Dan McLaughlin at Baseball Crank. He says, it's really telling at Tim Walz's education bill to see what was added and what was removed from Minnesota law. So there are things that are underlined that are added and things that are crossed out to be removed. The thing that's crossed out to be removed, have all third grade students achieve grade level literacy. That is a goal they have abandoned. That's not as important, actually, or it's just too hard to do. So that's been removed. They still, of course, want to close the academic achievement gap amongst all racial and ethnic groups of students, between students living in poverty and students not living in poverty, have all students attain career and college readiness before graduating from high school, and have all students graduate from high school. Here are the things they added. Ethnic studies, as defined by Section 120B.25, has the same meaning for purposes of this section. Ethnic studies curriculum may be integrated into existing curricular opportunities or provided through additional curricular offerings. Anti-racist, culturally sustaining, institutional racism. So if you want to know what Democratic education policy it is in general, it's get rid of literacy requirements, get rid of actual educational achievement, and replace it all with anti-racism, aka anti-whiteism. And also, we want to make sure all ethnic groups have exactly the same outcome, despite the fact that that's never existed in the history of the world. Again, U.S. birth rate hits new low. CDC data shows, and any serious country concerned with its continuing existence. This would be the number one crisis being confronted right now. And there's another aspect of this that, like, they act like we can't do anything about this. They act like low birth rates means the only solution is replacing you with Mexicans, basically. Ushering in 10 million Africans to take your place. As if they don't routinely run, you know, behavioral modification programs for the entire country. If they were serious, they could launch a giant propaganda campaign to increase fertility rates. And it's not even, you know, typically their propaganda campaigns have incredible success convincing people to do the most unnatural and disturbed and deranged things you can imagine. They've successfully psyoped the country into castrating children who have mental illness because they think they're trans. You have any idea how powerful propaganda is? And that's wielded in, again, just the most deranged, diabolical nonsense you've ever heard of. They can actually overcome people's, like, motherly instinct to protect their children. People want to have babies. People want to have kids. People want to get married. They want to procreate. And yet we can't launch something to encourage that. We can't use some modicum, some iota of that propagandistic power to encourage more birth rates. Now, they won't even consider that. So the birth rate has fallen since 2007 by nearly 23%, falling an additional 2% between 22 and 23, being a cratering. This is a cratering of the birth rate done on purpose for a variety of different reasons. And it wouldn't really matter that much if it weren't a part of a wider scheme to destroy the West. In other words, it seems kind of natural that, like, the birth rate goes down as survival goes up. As, you know, the average age of death increases and the number of children surviving infancy is like 100%, yeah, you don't need that many more kids to keep a stable population. But if your entire system is purposefully designed to require infinite growth, despite that being impossible, and in order to uphold the economy, you're bringing in tens of millions of foreigners because your people aren't having enough kids, and your people aren't having enough kids because of the variety of programs that you yourself have implemented. It's all part of a giant attack against humanity itself, but specifically against white Europeans, who are the ones dying out, while birth rate is not really an issue in basically every other part of the world. This problem could be solved. It's not hard. It's perfectly in line with human nature. They're going the opposite direction. They're encouraging childlessness and replacing you. Someone from Cameroon.
I hate to use this analogy, but truth is the way to go, so I'll just use it. I remember growing up with all four of my grandparents. And first my dad's dad died, and then his mother died, and then my mother's father died, and my mother's mother died. And they were all amazing, and you think they're always going to be there. But one day they're dead. Well, it's the same thing with InfoWars. We've barely survived in the last few years, like right up to millimeters. And people then go, well, you're still on air. You must be invincible. We are shot up. The operation is bleeding to death. And that's okay. We've done our mission, and we're going to continue on even if this operation shut down. But that said, I don't want to prove to you by not going 100% and us shutting down that I wasn't BSing about this. We are very, very, very close to being shut down. And literally, the final products we have in come in at InfoWarsStore.com could be the last time you get them. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this, a lot of strategy. There's a good chance, 50-50, we can stay on air. But if we don't get funding, we will shut down. I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get amazing products. Now, these three have been bestsellers. And these are the last runs of them, unless we get a deal done in the next few months. So we have Vitamin Mineral Fusion. We have the vitamin C with zinc and the rose hips that's so incredible. And we have Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, all discounted. But this could easily be the final run. So I need your support, plus they're great products. Get it today at InfoWarsStore.com. And while you're there, get a book, get a film, get a t-shirt, whatever you do, share the article, share the videos, and pray for the broadcast. You've kept us on air this long, and I'm very thankful to all of you. We are now at go moment here with this election, everything going on. We need your support now. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and support us in this critical time. a limited edition exclusive InfoWars proprietary 24 karat .999 pure gold collectible is now available in this credit card size package, laminated with original InfoWars art. This is a memento to remind you of the fact that you kept InfoWars on the air at a critical time. We could do a straight up donation drive, but we may have to do one. But this is basically the same thing as donating. You just get this collectible as a thank you from us for what you're doing. So please take action. Get yours right now at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. We cannot stay on the air without your support. This is a collectible, and it is a beautiful piece of gold, a little bar that symbolizes your support of the InfoWar. I humbly ask you to take action and make the decision to keep us on air, because this is your chance to keep InfoWars on the air at a critical juncture in the fight for our republic.
I would rather be oppressed by the Nazis.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
I would rather just have some Soviet commissar with his boot on my neck and just saying, do what I say or die. And it's just like, ooh, okay, I get this. This is straightforward. Yes, sir. Please don't kill me. I prefer that over whatever this is.
Push for systemic change.
I would choose straightforward, manly oppression over this preschool baby talk.
As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn.
Just say you'll kill me. Just do it. Whatever this pathetic vocal fry cat lady librarian bullcrap is, I don't like it.
It's for the greater good.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. I was actually not going to cover this story, but a new video just dropped, so I will. From Reuters, I was just going to cover because of how ridiculous it is. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing they always do. They do this. It's amazing how they're able to get this message to all of their NPCs who repeat it ad nauseum without thought. The Reuters headline, Trump to campaign in Michigan town with historic links to white extremism. White extremism. Yes, they're very mad that former President Donald Trump will visit a Michigan town on Tuesday, 1 month after white supremacists rallied there, sparking renewed criticisms from Democrats who accuse his campaign of stirring up racial tensions. Well, a month ago, some group marched in this town, so now Trump can't go to it, obviously. Obviously, by being in the same geographic location that something once happened one time, that's basically a full-throated endorsement of the KKK. It's basically the same thing. The town has historical links to the KKK. In the 1970s, Grand Dragon Robert Miles had Howell is the name of this town, mailing address and held meetings on a nearby farm. Well, we should just burn it all down then. Why haven't we dropped a nuke on this place yet? 50 years ago, a member of the KKK had a mailbox there? I don't understand. How have we not sown the seed, the ground with salt? How is this place still around? We can't just have places where white people once lived just out there in the world. This is infuriating. And Trump, of course, by going to a town, clearly is, condoning the fact that 50 years ago, some dude in the KKK lived there. Obviously, it's absurd. It's nonsense. It's retarded. It's stupid. It's the Democrats doing what they do best, fabricating controversy out of literally nothing. Literally nothing. It's amazing. It truly is. Look at the Supreme Court and the controversy there, right? A Supreme Court justice flew a flag that George Washington once flew. This is an outrage, and he must be removed from the court. I mean, this is the type of stuff that they're able to just whip up out of nothing. I mean, it's nothing. It's amazing. It truly is. So they got nothing on Trump. So I guess they go into the archives of a town that he's visiting. He visits 10,000 towns a year. And this one happened to have a KKK member living there 50 years ago. So obviously, that means Trump's a racist, and you get to hammer him about being a racist for the next month. We can't live with these. Honestly, we can't live with these people. Enough is enough. Trump was asked about this. It's kind of hard to hear the question, but, you know, like good little NPCs, they take this random association from 50 years ago, and that's the only question they have from now on. Trump has to be hammered on this. Just in case he accidentally doesn't respond perfectly, then you can take his words out of context and act like he is endorsing the KKK. This is the childish, petulant retardation of our media. Here's them asking Trump, and Trump just slapping him in the face rhetorically. Let's watch. So they're being asked about white supremacists in this county.
Who was here in 2021? Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Joe Biden was out there. And he walks away. That's how you handle it. That's how you handle it. Didn't Joe Biden come here in 2021? Oh, he did? Did you call him a racist for coming to this town? You didn't? Okay. So your objections are meaningless. Your beliefs are nonsense. And you can be easily and appropriately ignored. Yeah, there's Joe Biden triumphantly holding up the hand of the actual leader of the KKK. They don't care. They don't care. They really don't. Even a little bit. So you gotta recognize that. Meanwhile, just finish up here. The Fed confronts up to 1 million U.S. jobs vanishing in revision, which means they lied. Which means they lied about the unemployment rate to benefit Donald Trump or to benefit Joe Biden. But they are, they had to revise it down by a million, which is like, that's like 1% of American jobs, pretty much. So there's that. Kamala, meanwhile, refuses to debate Trump on Fox News. Trump will hold a town hall instead. They were supposed to debate on September 4th. Kamala Harris is refusing to do that. She has not held a press conference, has not sat for a single interview, and this increasingly appears to be all by design. They figured out Democrats don't care. Like the people, the average person. And we've talked about this before. It's evident if you talk to Democrats in your life. They don't care. They would be happy to vote for a literal puppet. If Kermit the Frog got all the media attention that Kamala Harris gets, they would vote for him. They would cheer for him. They would campaign for him. They don't care. They don't actually have policies they believe in. They don't expect there to be anything that the government can do to solve anything. They just hate Trump. They just hate Trump. I've talked about it many, many times on American Journal, but I was having a conversation with a never-Trumper, supposedly a lifelong Republican who left the party because of Donald Trump. And I was trying to talk to her about the crimes that Trump is alleged to have committed, trying to get her to sort of like say what she thinks they are and why they're that important and how they'll affect Trump, like get to the bottom of it. But she didn't care. She didn't care what the charges were. She just wanted him in jail. And it was like, yeah, but these charges are totally fabricated. It's total nonsense. This is like despotism. They're like throwing an opponent in jail. She's just like, yeah, it doesn't matter. He's a criminal. He's a criminal. I believe he's a criminal. Therefore, whatever they have to charge him with, charge him with. They don't care. Then we have this. Local cop, not Secret Service, shot Trump rally shooter first. So apparently the first shot to hit Thomas Crooks wasn't even from Secret Service. It was from a local SWAT operator who was about 100 yards away from the building on which Crooks was positioned. This is according to Representative Clay Higgins in a preliminary investigative report. Just further, yeah, I thought he only got shot once. Well, this is the thing. We have gotten almost nothing officially about the assassination. Anything that has come out has just added to the evidence that it was a setup, that it was on purpose, that it was a either abysmal failure by the Secret Service or a deliberate stand down by the Secret Service. Even though we've gotten very, very little information, all of the information comports to that assumption. It's completely insane. Excuse me. Yeah, we'll finish out with this clip here. Just finish out with politics. When we get back, we'll talk about war with Russia and how apparently we're getting ready to have nuclear exchanges with them for some uncertain and unexplained reason. But we'll go now to clip number 10 here. This is RFK's VP, Nicole Shanahan, talking about whether they're going to stay in the race or join forces with Trump. Let's watch.
What my gut tells me right now is that we just have to keep being honest. I got to just keep being honest. I got to keep focusing on what matters the most outside of party lines. I need to focus on a vision that goes beyond November. And if that means that we stay in, and, you know, there's benefits to staying in. If we get over 5% of the vote, we actually establish ourselves as a party. 71% of Americans want a strong third party with a real shot at winning. There's even public funds available if we get over 5% of the vote. So we could get, I think it's like $13.5 million in public funds to keep the party going. Mm. And that's, you know, that's worth something. That means that we can position for a real third party election in 2028 where we don't have to go around and spend tens of millions of dollars on ballot access, which means that we can spend all of that time and money campaigning. So, you know, there's two options that we're looking at, and one is staying in, forming that new party, but we run the risk of a Kamala Harris and Waltz presidency because we draw votes from Trump, or we draw somehow more votes from Trump, or we walk away right now and join forces with Donald Trump, and you know, we walk away from that and we
Save us from 4 years of misery.
We got a big announcement at InfoWarsStore.com. All InfoWars MD supplements, a premium supplement line exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to diverse needs. We've got something for everyone at the InfoWars MD line. Ageless Vitality Collagen. Just look into all the benefits of collagen, folks. If you're not getting any collagen in your system, this is a great way to do so. Ageless Vitality Collagen. Superfood greens. Are you getting the fiber? Are you getting the greens in your life? If you're not eating your vegetables, this is a great way to supplement that. Superfood greens. Mushroom Max. All the great benefits of mushrooms. You might not like eating them. I'm not a big fan of them myself, but you can get it in a capsule. You don't have to worry about the nasty taste or texture and get all the benefits. Mushroom Max, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, Turmeric 95. Man, the benefits of turmeric are just incredible. When I'm not taking turmeric, I genuinely can notice the difference. It's one of those types of supplements where you notice when you're not taking it. And for me, it's kind of the soreness and maybe some inflammation after a workout, or if I play basketball for a couple hours the next day. I notice the difference. I notice the difference. And it's kind of sad. It reminds you, you're not going to be young forever, but that's why turmeric is so important. Turmeric 95, 25% off. The prebiotic formula, the prostate support, very important for men. Nerve Renew, Joint Max Relief. That's both of those things are key. And then good night's sleep. You know, if you're having trouble sleeping, a supplement always great for that. Good night's sleep. All of these, the InfoWars MD premium supplement line exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. We appreciate your support there. That's what makes everything we do here possible.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.